to church on a Sunday afternoon. Praise the Lord. So for those of you who are first-time visitors, this is kind of what we do. We just go over some quick announcements, and then we get into our message, if you would. So feel free to direct your attention to the screen here. Again, we just want to welcome you guys to our church, and it is an honor to see some of you guys here today. And we just want to let you know we're here for you every step of the way. So when you guys go on our website, you guys will be able to find out a little bit more about us, how we started, our doctrines, etc. But we just updated these cool little tracks, if you will, online. So let's say that when you're at the store or you're at a laundromat, amen, ministering to a friend, you could be able to be like, hey, I forgot my track, but let me go on my church website. Let me just share with you what Jesus Christ did for you and what he offers you. So I uploaded our new tracks, if you will. They're in the process. I'm going to make them, if you will, print them out. And but you can minister to somebody right there online, because I have them posted straight up, so that way people can understand how to be saved and putting their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. And of course, there's a place where you can invite them underneath. It has our church information there, the website, so that way they can get plugged in or tune in anytime. So when you guys get a chance, go ahead and click on that. We're going to go in and click on our ministry opportunities. So as you guys know, every Saturday we do our best to go soul winning, evangelizing. So we go door knocking. What that means is we go into the neighborhoods and we go tell people about Jesus, just like they did. We also go downtown at the public beach, if you will, at the pier, sometimes at the Sunset Market. Some of you guys have seen us there before. So that's what we do, right? As a little church, we're trying our best to make an impact in our city to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, last Saturday or yesterday was a huge blessing. I just want to give glory to God. We had the help of little Gibby here to go with my wife and I. And as I told our church last year, this year we want to serve God a little bit more. So we started at 10 o'clock. We got together, we prayed, had some breakfast, went out there by 10:30. It was a three-hour soul-winning time, amen. It was great. We finished our whole neighborhood down there in the valley, Fusat over there in that area, if you will, guys, kind of by underneath Buddy Todd Park. We finished all those neighbors. It was a great time. We had an opportunity to share the gospel with a lot of people, pray for people, and we have a follow-up visit this week, amen. So let's keep that nice woman in prayer. Her name is Lily. She said she just asked Jesus, right, to save her, and so we're going to pray for her, amen, and we're going to follow up with her this week. So again, we want to encourage you. If you're a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in your participation with your church family to go out soul winning when they do. So Saturdays, we're going to start 10 o'clock. Meet here. If you want to have breakfast, 9:45, we'll have the coffee for you, and we may have some donuts. We'll see. But other than that, just come with a heart to serve. And again, 10 to 12 is going to be kind of our range for soul winning. And we just took a little longer because we were ministering to people. And so we were sharing with people. We were loving on people, answering questions. I just want to put that out there. It was a blessing. So next Saturday, we'll be out there. This next Thursday, though, for the Sunset Soul Winning, that's going to be our every other week off. So on our calendar, if you guys can see here, we're going to postpone it for the following, if you would. And then, I think that's the 12th. I'm sorry. We'll be out there this Thursday. So 5 to 6:30, if you can join us, we'll be here. And then Friday night discipleship class will be here as well. So those are some of the announcements for opportunities you guys can get plugged in here. Study blogs. These are just some cool little articles that I've made to help you with some Bible study material, right, outside of your own. You guys can look at that. Live stream links. We're on Facebook Church Live, if you will. We have a YouTube church channel and podcasts. If you're working and you can't necessarily see the video, but you want an MP3, we have an application for that as well. Amen. And then last but not least, if you remember this church, hope you are, just please remain faithful in whatever you have purpose within your heart to financially contribute for the needs of your church ministry. You guys already know we have some verses up here on the screen to show you. 1 Corinthians 16, it just tells you that when you come to church, lay aside and store what God has prospered you with your labor. Whatever you purpose within your heart, say, Lord, here is my little money. I just want to give it back to you to support my church. You guys can see there in 2 Corinthians 9, he loves a cheerful giver. Don't give of your finances with an attitude. Give it with joy. Give it with grace. The Lord promised to meet your need. And then lastly, Philippians 4:19, the Bible says that God will supply your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So as you remain faithful and obedient in your giving, just know that God promised to take care of your needs. Amen. So you can do so online, or you have a little box back there, a little offering box. Y'all can do that anytime between you and the Lord. Amen. And so those are some of the announcements that we want to share with you before we get started. Once again, it is a blessing to see those of you that are in-house today. And so we're going to have our little youth church. We may have some more coming on our way. We're not sure. But if you would like to send your young one, you're more than happy to, or she can hang out in here. It's all good for church, whatever you guys want to do there. And my wife will just coordinate. Amen. Not a problem there. All right, guys. Well, it's good to see some of you guys. Happy New Year, Brother Steve. Amen. First time we've seen him since last year. Happy New Year, Rolando, his family. All right. Praise God. And sir, it's good to see all of y'all who are here today. Would you do me a favor now, church? Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible, there's one right there near you in the pew. We want to encourage you to get a Bible. You say, Brother Carlos, I feel better in Spanish. There you go. Boom. Santa Biblia. Y'all got some Spanish Bibles out there too. Amen. Galatas for the Spanish speakers, chapter 3. But if you got English, you got your Bible right there. Galatians chapter 3. We do have the screen as well to assist you because sometimes I go a little quick. But if you guys have a chance to listen to later on YouTube, you can slow Brother Carlos down. Amen. Not a problem there. All right. So Galatians chapter 3. Let's go ahead and read the verses, and we're going to pick up where we left off. So for those of you that are visiting for the first time, or those of you who are coming back, we're going through a verse-by-verse teaching of the book of Galatians. So this is where we're at in our study, which is chapter 3. But before we read the study today in chapter 3, do me a favor. Let's just go to Galatians chapter 1, just to kindly refresh some of our members here today, and also to bring up to speed some of our visitors to let them know the theme, if you will, of today's study. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. And if you can do me a favor, let's read together starting in verse number 4. We have this letter that the Holy Spirit put on the heart of the Apostle Paul to write to churches and to Christians in those churches. If you guys can see there in verse number 2. The theme of the book of Galatians is not necessarily to present the means of salvation that is the gospel, but rather it is the means of how Christians, after they have been saved, are how to live from the gospel. In other words, Galatians is not necessarily here to teach you how to be saved. It's to teach you how to live after you've been saved. That's a general theme that you're going to see throughout this book. So look at here with me in Galatians 1, verse 4, just a quick refresher. Concerning Jesus Christ, the Bible says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. So after you became a Christian, what was it in the will of God for your life? It is to continually deliver you from this evil world. Not just from the things of this world, you know, like habits, if you will, and faults you might have had growing up, if you will, as an unbeliever. But the world that's in here, the world in your heart, whatever that might mean before you today. Again, I'm not sure where a lot of you have been in your walk with God, but I just want to let you know, if there's one thing that is the will of God for you 24/7, when you ask yourself, man, what does God want for my life? He wants to continue to deliver you to look more like his son, Jesus Christ. And whatever that might mean between you and God, God does not want to leave you on the floor. He wants to stand you up. He wants to keep cleaning you off, amen, to be more like his son, Jesus Christ. So just know, this is the theme of Galatians. It's Jesus Christ, after you've been saved, the will of God is to continue to cleanse you, to continue to deliver you from sin, from this world, so you can be more like his son, Jesus. But there's a lot of hindrances that might come along that way, and that's what we've been studying in the book of Galatians. Some of those hindrances could be unbelieving family members and friends. Some of those hindrances could be culture and tradition. But we are studying together that none of those things are going to help you to be more like Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 3 with me, verse number 1, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1, this is just a quick refresher. The Bible says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? So at some point along your way, something or someone is going to try to come back into your life to hinder you from obeying the truth. I don't know what that might mean for you. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. It could be a habit. It could be the workplace. It could be something that you've allowed yourself to introduce back into your life that is hindering you from obeying the truth. The Bible says that's a foolish thing for us when we entertain that. And it could be a bewitching aspect. It could be something spiritual that is going to try to get you, if you will, from serving God. And so the only one that can help us to continue to grow in our Christian faith is the Holy Spirit. And we've learned that here in verse number 2 and 3. The Bible says this, only what I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? When you got born again, you trusted the gospel. And when you trusted the gospel, that's how you were born again. The Holy Spirit of God entered your heart because of your faith in Christ's gospel. So the law, the Ten Commandments, you know, the Old Testament, that's not going to help you to be more like Christ. It's the Holy Spirit of God and your relationship with Christ that's going to help you to be more like Christ. And also, for those of you who became a Christian many years ago, you are not going to become a stronger Christian on your own strength. You're not going to become a stronger Christian, if you will, on your own efforts. You're not going to be a stronger Christian by hanging out with non-Christians. So whatever of this world that might mean for you today, I'm just here to remind you in love, it's only going to be the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God that's going to help you to continue to obey the truth. Amen? So that's a little bit about, if you will, the summary to kind of catch you guys up in the spirit of today's theme that we're talking about here today. All right, so let's go now to our base text, Galatians 3, verse number 26. We're going to read the verses and then we'll pray. The Bible says here now, starting in Galatians 3, verse number 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Let's pray. Father, I thank you once again for the Word of God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. We pray, God, that you would please prepare our hearts and our minds and our spirits to receive the Scriptures today. Lord, forgive me ahead of time when I have an error in my human presentation of the Scripture. I pray your Holy Spirit would oversee that to still minister to the spirits of everybody here today from your Word. May you, God, continue to be glorified in our life. I pray for every soul that's here today that before we leave those doors, we would have a greater and a more burdened desire to be more like Jesus, to be more obedient to the Scriptures, because it's only from these, God, that you're going to build us up to be a better Christian. So, Father, I thank you for today. Forgive me of any sins, God, which I've committed against your Spirit and others in my heart. And may you allow me now to be a vessel of yours to bring the Word today to the people. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Look with me again now in Galatians 3:26. The Bible says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Do you see that? By faith in Christ Jesus. Let's go ahead now. We're going to get on a Bible train. For some of you who have been here for the first time, we read Scriptures. So I'm going to try to make it easy for you. We're going to go from left to right. So the first stop we're going to go to is in the book of John chapter 1. Let's go there now. John chapter 1. The Bible says that we are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If that's the case, then that means that not everybody that is just simply born into this world is a child of God automatically. It doesn't matter if they're a Jew. It doesn't matter if they're Mexicano. It doesn't matter if they're black, white, green, anything in between. Just being born into this world does not automatically make one a child of God. The Bible says that there is a requirement, and that requirement is faith in Christ Jesus in order to be made a child of God. You saw that. How can we become a child of God is what I'm going to present to you before you today. Some of you are already Christians. This is going to be a reminder. Some of you may not be a Christian, and this is going to be the first time you're going to hear this. But regardless, I hope that you're going to let the Bible minister to you today. Look at John chapter 1 now with me in verse number 13. The Bible says, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Becoming a child of God is not a physical process, it is a spiritual process. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Do you see there? That word become is defined as this, to pass from one state to another, to enter into some state or condition by a change from another state or condition, or by assuming or receiving new properties or qualities, additional matter, or a new character. Notice that in verse number 12. it's not automatic. There's a change that takes place. There's something that becomes something else that wasn't there originally. Are you with me? So notice here, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I want to remind you today that the only way that you are a child of God is when you receive and believe Jesus Christ. That's the only way that you will be called a son of God. It's when you believe in his name, and it's when you receive him into your heart. So, scripture with scripture, we need to receive power. You see there in verse number 12? So therefore, just by birth, we don't have the power on our own to make us a son of God. That power must be received, and it must be given by him. And how do you receive it? When you respond to him. And when you believe in him, that's how you receive the power to become a son of God. How do sinners become children of God? When they believe and receive Jesus Christ into their heart and their life, personally. Only then will Jesus grant sinners the power to become the sons of God. If the Bible is true, then that means everyone else on this planet and every other religion and its systems and its teachings that they're promoting is false. Regardless of their faith, their beliefs, their convictions, or their creeds, they are wrong, and eventually those people will find themselves in hell because they are denying Christ and his person, and as the scripture presents salvation solely by faith in his name. You say, Brother Carlos, can you show me some scriptures to back up what you're saying? Yes. Let's go to John chapter number 10 next. John chapter 10. Turn your Bibles there. Let's read together here, and then we're going to go to 1 John chapter 4. John chapter 10. And then we will go to 1 John chapter 4. Notice what the Bible says here in John chapter 10. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." So if there is a pen that is holding sheep, there's only one door to access those sheep. That's what Jesus said. And if there's anybody else that's going to try to get in that pen, you know, crawling over the fence, you know what Jesus said? That's a thief. They're not going through the door. There's only one door to get into heaven, the Bible says. And that's the person of Jesus Christ. So if Jesus makes himself the only way to get into God's heaven, then that means that everyone else, every other religion, is wrong or false. Keep reading along with me. Let's go to verse 7. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." So Jesus said he is the door. He is the only entrance into God's heaven. It's not through religion. It's not by being a Roman Catholic, it's not by being a Baptist, it's not by being a Protestant, it's not by being religious. It is by having a personal relationship with him. He's the only one that can give you the power, John chapter 1, to enter into God's heaven. So Jesus made it very clear, he is the only way, he is the door. Everyone else is a thief, and if you trust in them, they're going to destroy you. So every other religion right now on this planet, when sinners trust in their false gospel because they don't believe Jesus, they're going to go to hell, unfortunately. Look at 1 John chapter 4 now. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4, and all I'm showing you guys is the Bible. That the Bible says the only way that we can become children of God is by faith alone in Jesus Christ and how the Bible presents us to him, that he was God who died for our sins and rose again from the dead. When you trust that with all your heart, he will give you the power to become a son of God. Look at 1 John 4 with me now, church, and look at with me in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." So, brother and sister, when they knock on your door, it's okay to size them up a little bit. You understand? Try them. Ask them questions. Who do you say that Jesus is? Do you believe that he's the only one who can save your soul? Do you believe that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works? Try them. You have a command. There you have it. Don't be shy to test them. It doesn't matter if they have a little badge. It doesn't matter if they have a title, pastor or elder or whatever. Your God gave you a command. Don't believe everybody just that says, that simply say, "Oh, I believe in God." Which God? How do you have a connection with that God? And so there you have it. Well, here's what God said. "Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world." So before you start entertaining the New World Order, you guys heard about that, and the Antichrist and 666 and all that silliness, you know what the Bible said? That spirit that denies who Jesus is, it's already here. So any of those religious systems, any of those voices out there that deny that Jesus Christ was God who came into the flesh, the Bible says that's an Antichrist. You say, "Brother Carlos, can you give me an example?" The Mormons are teaching an Antichrist doctrine because they deny that he was God. The Jehovah's Witnesses are Antichrist because they deny that Jesus was God. Every other religious system out there that denies this doctrine, the Bible just told you, they're not of God. So then that tells me every other church or, if you will, Christian friend that I have that believes that, they are of God. So we're cool. We got fellowship because they believe what the Bible teaches concerning who Jesus is. So this belief in this Bible doctrine is what saves sinners from going to hell. Turn your Bible now with me to Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. This should be some rehearsal. A lot of you guys, I think, are already saved. Some of y'all have been, you already asked Jesus to come into your heart. And again, I know some of your walks have been up and down over the years, but that's all right. We're just here to remind you now. Praise God. At church, we're going to teach you how to live better for him in a minute. But we got to lay the foundation because we never know who may not be a Christian here today or watching online. We're just presenting to you what you need to believe in order to be saved. Look at now in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus. Did somebody misread? Anybody? Did I misread? What does that Bible say? The Lord Jesus. You see there? We'll talk about that in a minute. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, notice, what do I have to believe with my heart and confess with my mouth? The Lord Jesus. A lot of versions have altered this verse to just say that Jesus is Lord, but they miss a very important term. What is that? The Lord. You know what that says? He is God. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is God, who died for you and rose again from the dead. And if you believe that, that's what saves you. Praise God. Notice, it's not water baptism. It's nothing else. It's belief alone in who Jesus is, that he is the only Savior. And so, scripture with scripture, on what textual information from the Bible must sinners believe in order to be saved? That Jesus Christ was God, who died for their sins and rose from the dead. And when they believe and receive him into their heart, Jesus gives them the power to be saved. Are you following with me? That's all I'm sharing with you. Every other religion on this earth, it doesn't matter if they're a person, a priest, or some religious group, who deny that, unfortunately, they're going to go to hell. Why? Because they reject that Jesus was God, who died for their sins and rose from the dead. Look at John chapter 3, the last verse in John 3. I'm just giving you a Bible, so that way the next time you talk with a family member or friend, unfortunately, who may be a participant in one of those religions, you will be able to take them to the Bible and say, "This is why I care about you. I'm just sharing you what the Bible says. I don't want you to go to hell, friend. I want you to be saved. But if you don't believe this, this is what the Bible says, not my church, not the Baptist tradition. It's just the Bible." Look at John 3:36. Bible says, he that what? Anybody out there? There you go. On the Son hath everlasting life. How many of you guys believe in Jesus today? Raise your hand. So right now, you have everlasting life. Praise God for that. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So friend, there is wrath right now on every sinner on this earth because they are in a state of unbelief in the Son of God. Now, all their sins will be paid for. One day, they're going to be judged for their works. But until then, what is the ultimate condemnation between heaven and earth? It's Jesus. Who do you say that he is, and how are you going to respond to him? Are you going to receive the gift, or are you going to reject it? If you receive the gift, Jesus gives you the power to become a child of God. But if you reject him, you're not. And hence, you're going to go to hell because of your rejection in him. So we got to make it clear. All the religions on this earth, it doesn't matter if it's Oprah Winfrey on the cable television or the Pope over there in Rome, who says we're all children of God, or Geronimo, the native, if you will, the Indian, we're all children of God. No. Wrong. False. Call Brother Carlos. I'll tell him straight up in love. That's false doctrine. You are only a child of God if you believe in the Son of God, that he died for your sins and rose again from the dead of the third day. If they get their feelings hurt, it's all right, y'all. You're trying to care for their soul. We're trying to pull them out of that fire, amen. When someone's dying up in that building, y'all ain't going to be like, hey, is it okay if I can, you know, just grab your hand and pull you out? No, you're going to pull them by the hand, pull them on out of that building, amen, because you don't want them to die in there. So you just got to tell them in love, amen. All right, let's go back to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. By the way, this is our base text, so y'all can just leave a flyer, if you will, in that Bible, Galatians 3, in our base text. Look at verse number 27 through 28. The Bible says now, back here in our base text, we talked about the first verse, 26, how one is a child of God, but now our position in Christ. Look at 27, 28. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. There are three verses that tell you that we've been adopted by the Son of God and his, if you will, position before the Father. I'll just read them for you. Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:5, John 1:12. In Christ, there is no biological distinction before the eyes of God the Father because our placement in him is under his headship. The Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. Ephesians 1:22, Ephesians 5:23. But let me give you a side nugget. The pastor is not the head of the church. Jesus is. We are stewards called to oversee your spiritual growth with the authority that Jesus gave us. Much like some of you have a supervisor or a manager at the company you work for. There is an owner of that company, but he delegated you the authority to oversee the employees. Think about like that when it comes to the role of the pastor. Here we have members, pastor, Jesus, the head of the church. When you members don't want to do your job faithfully, just know one day you're going to have a meeting with the owner. Amen. And if the brother here is not doing his job, I'm going to have to talk to the owner one day as well. So let's keep each other in prayer. All right. So spiritually, therefore, we're all one in Christ because he has become our head representative by the Father as head and savior of his body, the body of Christ. We are benefited in Christ with an inheritance from him. You can read those in Romans 8:17, Galatians 3:29, and Galatians 4:7. But while we are serving Christ down here on earth, there is a distinction of the genders for roles within the body of Christ. Allow me now a few minutes to remind you of a few of those by moving on in our text of Scripture. Do me a favor now, church. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's going to get a little hot today, y'all, so y'all better just get ready for this Bible. Amen. I'm just telling you, we may need to open up some doors, y'all. That's all I'm saying. Timothy chapter 2. But you guys came to a Bible-believing church, so that's good. Y'all be all right. Just hang out there, amen. Let the Word of God do its job. That's all we're doing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to read starting in verse number 8 through 15. So I'm a sinner. By birth, Mexicano. I'm a Gentile dog. I get saved. Praise God. Jesus gives me the power to become a son of God. And in Christ, positionally in the body, the Father does not look at me with any distinctions within my biological, if you will, birth like we have down here, because we are underneath the headship of Jesus. That's why he says in Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. In Christ, it doesn't matter if you're a poor Mexicano, a white Mexicano that's poor. It doesn't matter if you're rich. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, green. It doesn't matter. In Christ, positionally before the Father. But while you are still on this earth, there is a difference. While you're still here, God still has given you daughters and you sons certain ways on how he expects for you to conduct your life as a child of God. Some of those verses that we're going to read today are as follows. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. The Bible says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. How many guys pray with your hands lifted? Anybody out there? You guys believe the Bible? Anybody here today? Well, that's a command, isn't that not? When I pray, Father, we thank you for this food. Amen. I'm just telling you, when I consider a verse, what's going to change me is when I believe that that's the Word of God. So if you have that mentality moving forward, y'all, let's keep reading together. Verse 9. In like manner also. Okay? So now, the also is a reference to a verse that preceded. So men, here's what I want you to do. The Apostle Paul said, I want y'all to pray with some hands lifted. Amen. Father, we thank you. We give you thanks when you eat at home. Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. In like manner also, now women, get ready, because he's going to give you a command now. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety. That just means a humble spirit, if you will. Not with broided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array. Husbands, that may save you from all that brand clothing. Anybody out there? No, that was free. Okay. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. So here we have it. In Christ, daughter. In Christ, son. No distinction before the Father, positionally. But while you're on the earth, going to that church you're going to, there is a distinction of roles of service in the body of Christ. Notice, a woman is not a man, and a man is not a woman. Let me repeat that, because the generation we live in today, y'all know what I'm talking about out there. A woman is not a man, and a man is not a woman. Can I get an amen? Anybody out there? In Christ, women who become a child of God, daughters, have certain roles and laws and guidelines, if you will, by which God commands you to live by and live in as his child. So here's a side nugget, sisters. Listen up in love. I know a lot of you women did not grow up with a God-fearing, God-honoring daddy that taught you how to have godly living and manners. I know that. Sister, I know that some of you did not grow up with a God-fearing, God-honoring mother that taught you godly living manners, modest apparel, and conduct. I know that. But can I encourage you, sisters in love? Since you got saved, God gave you the best teacher you can have, the Holy Spirit. And ever since you got the Holy Spirit, he gave you the best word that you can go by for teaching, and that's the Word of God. And you know what the Holy Spirit provided you, sisters, with here today? He gave you a pastor and a body of believers to continue to help you and to teach you how to be the best daughter of God you can be. So, sister, if you refuse to listen now, I'm just letting you know, to the scriptures and showing you today, you are only hindering your personal walk with God and grieving the Spirit, even though the pastor might be a little bummed out. But I'm just telling you, if you try to argue with what we're sharing you today, it's just a you and God thing. And so please listen to me as your brother in Christ, remember Galatians 3, and as your pastor overseeing your spiritual walk. The faster you trust the Word of God versus your feelings is the faster you'll grow in your walk with God and become a stronger witness for him personally. But the slower you do, or the places you choose to ignore, you won't. Amen? So let's keep reading. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12. The Bible says, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. So in the body of Christ, in the churches, the Bible said it very clearly, there are distinguishing roles within a daughter and a son. So what does that tell me? women cannot have the position of the pastor or teacher over the church, but a man can. Are you listening now? However, there are certain things that God wants you to do, sister. Look at that. He wants you to adorn yourself, clothe yourself in modest apparel. He wants you to cover your body for your husband. He wants you to live in such a way that this body is not going to be exposed or presented to the world as a look at me kind of a thing, amen? But it's a, I'm going to present my body in such a way that it glorifies Jesus, okay? All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, all we're doing is giving you the Bible, that's all. As you guys can see, this is the scriptures right before your eyes, y'all. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, turn now with me to verse number 33. How many of you guys believe the Bible is the Word of God? Anybody? Y'all still believe the Bible? All right, let's keep reading, let's keep reading. Verse number 33. The Bible says, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." So, if you don't want confusion in the marriage, brother, if you don't want confusion in the marriage, sister, if you don't want confusion in your church, then make sure that it sticks to the Bible. Okay, that's fair. Just make sure they stick as close as they can to the Word of God. Verse 34, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything," now wait up, husbands. You're not off the line now. Y'all better get ready. "For women who are married, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." What? Came not the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? "If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things I write unto you are the suggestions of the Lord." Is that what verse 37 says? Anybody out there? What does it say? Commandments. "But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant." So, what are we learning? In Christ, positionally, before the Father, there is no distinguishment. Male or female, in Christ, doesn't matter. But as a Christian representative of Christ, while you're still on the earth, there is. Husbands, you have a role. Wives, you have a role. Women, you have a role that you can't have that a man can. And men, you have a role that a woman can't have that you're expected to have in the church. Let's quickly talk about this. We're not going to spend a lot of time, but we're just sharing with you in love. This is why, biblically, it is not permitted for women, those of you who are daughters of God here today, to become a pastor or a deacon within a church. Because the Bible says it's not permitted for you to have authority over men in the church. However, daughters, if you are here today and if you're married, it is the responsibility of your husband to teach you at home. You say, "Brother Carlos, what about women who are single?" Well, you have a spiritual husband, you have Jesus, and Jesus gave you a pastor to assist you and to guide you. But if you have a husband, it is your husband's job to be a pastor to you in the house. So as much as he listens to Brother Carlos, praise the Lord, I'll answer his questions. He listens to people online, praise the Lord, to strengthen him. He has a God-given authority, role, command to teach you, to guide you, and to protect you in home. Pray for your husbands, women. But we're not done yet. We're not done yet. You still have the ability to serve and minister women. Y'all don't have to just be quiet like y'all can't even talk. I mean, that's not what the scripture is saying. It is speaking in the context of teaching. That's what it's speaking of. In other words, women who come to church, they're not to be speaking of with authority over the church assembly of men and women. That's what it's saying. It doesn't mean that women have to be all quiet up as soon as they come to church. No, that's not what it's saying, all right? Y'all can talk in fellowship. We're just talking about the context of teaching. But look at verse number 38, because I know some of you are going to say, "Well, Brother Carlos, what about the church over there? You know, the big one, North Coast, or what about those other churches that have female pastors or female teachers or supposed apostolesses?" Can I share you with the Bible real quick? If any man be what? Let him be? Let him be ignorant. That's all it is ignorance. You say, what does ignorance mean? It just means they're destitute of the knowledge. They're uninstructed. They're not informed. They're untaught or unenlightened, or they're just simply ignoring the scripture. So when you come across those sisters that want to say, "I'm a pastor," they're ignorant, they're wrong. You know that. The Bible just told you, they're just being silly. I don't know, what's up with that brother over there? He can't do his job. That's all I'm saying. They're just ignorant. And so we're just trying to share with you in love now. That's what the Bible says concerning that thing. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. All I'm sharing with you now, church, is that in Christ, there is no difference of your position before the Father. He loves you both the same, husband and wife, men and women. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, green. It doesn't matter if you're poor, like Brother Carlos, or rich, like some other Christian. It doesn't matter. We're all one in Christ. Praise the Lord for that. But while you're still on the earth, there are differences of roles and expectations for you as a daughter of God and as a son of God, some of which are in the capacity of teaching. I'll share with you, though, sister, that you can still teach in a minute. I'll share with you where you can. Look at 1 Timothy 3. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Look at verse 5. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? So that's why women cannot be a pastor of a church, because it is not their God-given authority to rule the house. Whose role is it to rule the house? It's the man. So husband, let me remind you now, you may not be a pastor, brother. You may not be a teacher, brother, but God command you to take care of your house. He commanded you, husbands, to love your wife, to not be bitter, to raise your children in the word of God, take them to church. If you're not doing that, you're not ruling your house well. So before you come to the church and say, Brother Carlos, I'm spiritual, I'm feeling called to preach, are you taking care of the household first? Are you making sure your wife's taken care of? Are you pleasing her like we learned in Sunday school? Are you loving your children? Are you a good man? Are you patient? All those things are very important. But notice, it's the man's job. It's the man's job. Look at verse 11. Same thing for the deacons. The Bible says a deacon must be a man, obviously. But look at 11. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of how many wives? One. Ruling their children and their own houses well. So once again, notice the distinguishing roles of daughters and sons of God while they're on the earth in the church. A man must take care of his house to be an example of the pastor in the church house. A deacon man has to have a faithful wife. Men taking care of the house. Picture a spiritual oversight for the church. But notice here, brothers, let me share with you one thing. Now, this should not be controversial if you believe the Bible. But for some Christians, it is, but we have to say it as it is. I'm not adding to the text. I'm not going to take away. So just bear with me. Side nugget. Look at verse number 1 again and verse number 2. A man desiring this thing, the office of a bishop, Bible says that's a good work. It's a good desire that you have, brother. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of what? One wife. Okay, side nugget. It doesn't say one wife at a time. It doesn't say one wife, divorce, remarried, one wife, so long as they don't have polygamy wives, you know, like more than one at a time. It doesn't say that. Allow me in love to remind you, the Bible says one wife. You say, brother, are you sure? What about the remarriage role over there in 1 Corinthians and Romans 7? Yeah, I get that as a general Christian, but this office requires that. You can be a church member that's been remarried if, you know, your wife died on you because God gave you that permission. We're just telling you in this office, God just laid down a requirement. You just have to have one wife. That's what it says. If they pass on, I'm just telling you, brother, it just says one wife. For those churches who have those men serving in those roles who have had more than one wife, for whatever reason, fill in the blank, what did Bible tell us in 1 Corinthians 14:38? Ignorant. If they don't acknowledge that these are the commands of the Lord, let them be ignorant. That's all I'm sharing with you. Now, before someone says, well, Brother Carlos, what about this and what about that? Let me show you one more real quick. Look at the screen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 9. The Bible even gives commands on widows. Let's say if some of you were married and your husband died and you get old and you don't have children and there ain't no family to be there for you. Well, God gave us as the church the command to help take care of you. That's what we have a command to do. But look at how specific God is with this thing. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old. For Bible trivia, free prayer, how many is a score? 20 years. So how old does she have to be? 60. 60. Having been the wife of one man. There you have it. Scripture with scripture. The church is not obligated to take care of a widow if she was married more than once. That's what it says. Number two, the church does not have the responsibility to take her widow if she's under 60. She's got to be 60 or over. But notice, it doesn't stop there, sisters. Well reported of for what? Good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. So notice conditions. Notice commands. Notice requirements for what? The provision of a widow. So all you have to do now, brother, is when you meet that kind of a Christian who says, well, the divorce thing and this guy and that, all you got to do is, do you believe that what the Spirit of God is writing to us are the commands of God? Because if you don't, then what you're telling me, brother, is you're ignorant. That's what it says. One wife, you'll be all right. So husbands, if you're married here, just look to the lady sitting next to you and say, girl, I love you. I'm going to serve you for the rest of my life, and I'm going to keep serving Jesus when you're gone. Amen. I don't want to be remarried because I want to be like those guys, those good guys. Hey, that's all I'm going to tell you. Amen. I already talked to Katie. She already knows what's up. Amen. I'm going to be serving my wife, and God forbid, if she goes to glory, Brother Giovanni, hold me accountable. Brother Felipe, Brother Rolando, I want to be a one man, one married only because I want to be like that. You see what I'm saying? That's what it says. So keep me accountable, brothers. You already got me. Brother Stephen, you already got me. All right. Titus 2, we're almost done. Women, don't worry, y'all. Don't worry, sisters. Y'all can still serve God. But there is, if you will, a context. There's a place. There are conditions. There's a way that you can. So now we're going to show you from the Bible how you can do that. Watch this now. Titus chapter 2. Hope you have your Bible there. Let's keep reading together. Verse number 1, Titus 2. All right. Bible says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Some of you guys are a little older than Brother Carlos is. That's cool. But you know what the Bible tells me to remind you of? Keep being a good man. Keep being sober. Control your body. Come to church. Be charitable, right? All right, now look at verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior, as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So women, daughters of God in here, okay? You have now the permission to teach, but who and what? Look at verse number 4. That they may teach the what? Young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. All right, husbands, y'all missed it. Nobody? Amen? Amen? Okay. That the word of God be not blasphemed. How about that? So women, praise God, you have a biblical role to help each other out. You have a command to support each other. Let's say if that's my wife coming along your side, trying to give you a phone call, trying to text you, what is she trying to do? She's trying to be a Titus 2 woman. She wants to teach you how to be a better wife. She wants to teach you how to be a better mother. She wants to teach you how to be obedient to your own husband. She wants to teach you how to be a good, godly daughter of God. So that way, when someone looks to your life, the Bible is not disrespected. Isn't that crazy? So, notice there. Women, y'all have an amazing role. You guys have an important role. This role cannot necessarily be taught by me because I'm not a woman. It takes my wife. It takes a woman, a mature Christian woman, to come along your side, daughters of God, whoever you are here today, to assist you, to guide you, to love you, and to teach you how to be a virtuous daughter of God. The Bible is very clear now concerning the authority that God has given men and women in the church. One has the opportunity to teach both of you at the same time, men and women. That's the men. Two, daughters of God, women, you can't be necessarily teaching men and women, but you can teach each other. You can have a little women's conference. You can have a little women's get-together, a little tea party, whatever that means, women, or Mexicanas, a little pan party, whatever that means, okay? But they can and should, one to another, continue to assist each other. Here's a side nugget. When my wife calls you, you know what I hope you do, sister? I hope you answer. When my wife wants to fellowship with you, I hope you make time. When my wife wants to assist you and say, hey, sister, you know, like the Bible says, modest apparel, this is what it looks like. I'm just trying to be an example to you. You should follow her because that's a good example that God gave you a command to follow. Are you seeing her? So now one more time. Look, women, y'all can teach. Y'all can help each other. Women, you can help each other to be holier. You can help each other to not be false accusers. You can help each other to be teachers of good things. Women, you can help each other to be soberly minded, to love your husbands, to be a better mother in the household. Women, you can help each other to be chaste, you know, modest. You can help each other to be obedient to your own husbands. So that way, when someone sees you at church next time, the Bible will not be disrespected because you're being an unruly daughter. And vice versa, men, we're not going to necessarily talk about you, but let me just give it to you real quick. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So men, you know you have your roles too. You know you have your disciplines. If you are not taking care of your house, if you're married today, then you're messing up. You're messing up in your walk with God. He wants you to cherish that woman next to you like a vessel. He wants you to be gracious to that woman. He wants you to treat her like the queen, all right? Because that's how Christ treats the body, amen? And then when you come to church, he wants you to be an example to your children. He wants you to take your wife by the hand and say, wife, this is how we serve our God. We're going to go to church faithfully. We're going to go soul win faithfully. We're going to give faithfully. I'm going to lead you, my wife, because this is what the Bible commands me to do. And then women, when you are going through some tough times, rather than calling the pastor, because you have a husband, that's what he told you, you call your sister. You call a friend. You call Sister Katie. You say, I need some prayer. I want to learn how to be a better mother. I want to be a better wife. Well, then how do you do that? You teach each other good things. You teach each other the scripture. So daughters in here tonight, or today, Christians, make time for each other. Some of y'all, I know you guys are still working on being social. And, you know, I know that some of you guys are still working on your comfort of fellowshipping. But guys, notice now, I just showed you the Bible. God wants you to be social with the sisters in your church. He wants you to help each other. He wants y'all to get each other's numbers, call each other throughout the week and be like, hey, how you doing? I'm praying for you. Do you want to get together for some coffee or some fun or just fellowship? You want to go out and walk with our kids in the park? Whatever that means, women, make time to support each other. And then men, as y'all already know, Brother Carlos, I got some of your numbers. Y'all already know me blasting some of your phones up all the time. Brother Rolando knows that. And the men, I'm like, hey, guys, God, you know, some scripture. That's just me trying to do my job to help you to be more like Jesus. Amen. All right. Let's go back to our base text. We're going to close Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. So that's the Bible. That's the scripture. You heard it. We're just giving you the scriptures. As you can see, God still identifies and distinguishes between the roles of his children in the church. Sound doctrine, teaching godly women to be better women of God, better daughters of God, women with women, helping each other out. Women helping the youth, like my wife, as you guys know, she teaches our young people. She's a blessing to the babies, to the young ones. That's a role that you women should help my wife in. That's your guys' role in the church, helping each other, helping the children. And then Brother Carlos will help take care of your men to help them to be godlier, taking care of y'all in the marriage and the family, et cetera, et cetera. So here we have it. Galatians 3. Let's come back here now to verse number 29. So in Christ, praise God, no difference, no difference. I'm loved by the Father just as much as you are, sister. Doesn't matter what your color of skin is. Doesn't matter if you're poor or rich. Doesn't matter. You are loved by God because you're in his Son. Praise the Lord. But now there's different roles. And God has given you a command clearly. Now we know we need to serve in those roles together. Amen. And lastly, look at 29. If ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Allow me to finish now here concerning the promise, being an heir of God, if you will, concerning your position in Christ. We have been benefited with heirs, with heirship. What does that mean? How many of you guys had a rich daddy and mommy growing up? Anybody have some rich parents growing up? No? Are you guys brother budget like Brother Carlos is? Nobody? Okay. So some of y'all didn't have a wealthy inheritance. Some of y'all were born into a an impoverished family, poor, as we like to say. And that's all right. It's all right. It's just life. It's just how it is. No, not everybody's going to be rich. Not everybody's going to be, if you will, poor. It is what it is. That's all right. But in Christ, you know what the Bible says? You and I have an inheritance, incorruptible. But it's not here on the earth, brother and sister. It is in heaven. Let me just share with you these last three. We'll close in prayer. Romans 8:17. And then let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 1. Romans 8:17, and then 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to close with these last two. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. And then we'll go to 1 Peter chapter 1 together. I'm so glad to be saved, and I'm so glad to be a Christian, because now, guys, our unity is not based upon our past. Our unity is based upon Jesus in here, Jesus in there. You know, many years ago, Brother Rolando used to come over to my house for Bible study. Remember, Rolando, we had the white boy right here from South O. Remember that guy? And we had worshiping with this brother over here, this brother over here. And before you know it, it didn't matter if we grew up in different neighborhoods. It was that man who made us at peace with each other, because that's salvation. It makes people at peace with each other who grew up at odds with each other. And I liked how that fellow, I forgot his name, brother, but one day I helped him shove down the toilet some drugs that brother had. That was cool. It's that unity. I just liked how he said, man, I can be over here in this neighborhood worshiping Jesus with a white boy from South O, this kid growing up in the neighborhood over here, and this brother. That's what Jesus does, amen. He makes men who are at odds at peace, amen. So let's keep growing in our faith. But let me share with you before we close two things about your heirship. Romans 8:17, the Bible says, and if children. So how many of you guys are sons of God? Raise your hand. If you're a child of God, raise your hand. You put your faith in Jesus. All right. Then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So when you became a Christian, you immediately became a beneficiary of the heirship that God promised his son. But where is it? Is it down here or is it up there? Last one, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's go there together, and then we're going to be closing in prayer. 1 Peter 1. Look it with me now, church, in verse number 3 and 4. The Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again, that's the born again, unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. So praise God. One day, daughter, son, your father is going to bless you. He's going to hook you up more than you've ever been hooked up on this earth before. But I will warn you, that inheritance is conditional based upon your obedience right now. So you want more from Daddy Abba up there in heaven? Then serve his son more. If you don't want more from Daddy Abba in heaven, then don't serve his son. Continue to live carnally and fleshly, and you're going to lose out on some inheritance. Now, brother and sister, you may get a little pebble, amen, how do you say in Spanish, a little rock, a little piedra, you may get a little sum. But if you want to work for more, what you got to do is you got to keep serving his son, Jesus, the best you can, when you can. You're not going to be perfect, but what God is wanting from you, daughter and son, is to have a heart to keep trying better every single chance you get. So, praise God that we are heirs of God. Praise God that there's different roles in the body of Christ. Now my hope and encouragement for you here today, son and daughter, is that you will have a heart to continue to serve your great Savior who gave his life for you on the cross. So no matter who you are today, no matter what you've done, it doesn't matter, guys, if you haven't been to church in a minute. It doesn't matter if you haven't been faithful this whole week or maybe this past hour. Right now, starting right now, would you pray with me to have a desire to start serving him better every next opportunity you have, starting right here, right now at church, and then in the marriages when you go back home, mothers with your children, fathers with your children, and then those of us that are single with your relationship with God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for this word. I thank you, God, that the Bible is pretty clear and plain, and Lord, I thank you that you so graciously enable me the ability to just simply minister to the people here at the Scriptures. Thank you, Father, for the roles you've given us as children of yours in the body of your son, the church, while we're here on this earth. My Father, I just pray that you would help strengthen your daughters and your sons here to remain faithful to your son's commands so they can be a bright, shining light wherever they go, so that when the unbeliever sees them the next time, that they would see something different about them, that they would be ready to adorn, as the scripture says, the doctrine of God just by how they live their life, just by how the daughters dress, just by how your sons treat their wives, just by how your sons raise their children. Father, would you please strengthen your children here today at this church to be more like your son Jesus, so the next time that we gather, we can continue to increase, mature, and strengthen one another's light by the word of God. So, Father, thank you for those that have come today to visit with us. Thank you for those that are returning. Please watch over their walk with you, Father. Strengthen them, God, this morning. If there are any hearts that are saddened, if there are any spirits here that are broken today because of sin and anything else that they've been going through, I pray today, God, that they learn from the Bible how much love you have for them and how you expect for them to live for you and how your Holy Spirit can give them the ability and the strength to do it with joy if they trust you and obey your word. Father, thank you. And I pray, God, that you would help us to have a good rest of our day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church, y'all want to sing one last hymn? Anybody? One last hymn? Nobody? Let's sing one last hymn. Trust and obey, amen. Trust and obey. Let's go ahead and turn in our red hymns together.